looking at cultivating a genuine and transparent relationship with God. If anything, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount helps us take a look inward and see what new frontiers there are that could be ours to have. It sometimes provides correctives for us as well. So I'd like to begin back at the beginning of chapter 6. And just to repeat a little bit again, I'll encourage you to jump in there with me as I try to remember this. We're going to start with 6 because chapter 6, verse 1, because it is it contains a pivotal verse and helps us understand everything else that goes before it or after it. Be careful then not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, as I continue, look at the number of times you hear the word reward mentioned. Okay? So in this case, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do, like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. To be honored by men. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father. There you go. I tell you the truth, they have their reward in full. Okay? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. Then your Father in heaven, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And her version says openly. When you pray, what's next? Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will do what? Will reward you. It's phenomenal, isn't it? The use of the word reward. Will reward you. And when you are praying, okay, and when you pray, and when you pray, do not be like the pagans. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. See, you could do this. You can do what I'm doing. I have to work at it, Lord. So do not be like them, because your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. And then we have some teaching. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Pray then in this way. And we may get to some of it today, but it'll probably be more on next Sunday. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now here's an interesting one. For we're used to saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And those words have been a part of the prayer for. We grow up learning that. Those words aren't in some of the earliest manuscripts. And so what you see in the New International Version and some of the early, some of these newer translations is the end of it, except for a commentary. So it says, in terms of the commentary on what's been talked about in the passage, that's the verse that is often there, but not in newer translations. And it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I'd like you to think about that during this week. What's being taught in terms of the positive part. We've had some corrections about prayer so far, but we've also had some teaching. We find some teaching in those passages. Now, just for refresher, here we go. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. There's our first time. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In the next section that we just cited together, we see this repeated again. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Down into the next paragraph, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So these are the different ways then that we have of taking a look at a very important subject, and that is the issue of reward. Now, also to review what we've learned in this passage, I'd like to take a look at these ideas. We've seen Jesus teaching about the perversion of prayer. It's a misguided motivation to want to be seen by men or to use prayer for social standing. The missed opportunity is that they have their reward in full. The second thing that we see is the reclamation of prayer, or reclaiming it, if you need to. If prayer is a prideful thing for you, there's an easy way to take care of that. It's to take that activity out of the public and to do it, to practice it in private. That's simply how we can do anything that we become prideful about. Remember, our text leads off, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men. So there we have something that could relate to all of our life in Christ. And if issues become a source of pride, where we're failing to remember the purpose of what God sets before us, and it becomes something of a source of personal pride, then we simply make it a private activity. This has to do with both giving and prayer. And then practicing trust. The pagans who kept on babbling were trying to influence God, thinking, well, if it's a matter of words, then I'll just pile them up. More is better. Or the pagans thought it will at least communicate to God that I'm serious. And those are things that we're warned away from. We're told, you have a heavenly Father. A heavenly Father who sees and cares. You don't have to get his attention. You don't have to go seeking this one. You don't have to do extraordinary things to be heard by him, because he sees and he knows what's going on even before you ask. And then finally, receiving God's promise, your Father will reward you. Now, what I'd like to do is just for a moment here, have a check-in. If you were going to share Jesus' words here with a brand new Christian about how to live, to give, or to pray, what do you think would be important for them get out of this passage? That's the first question. I'll give you an opportunity. If that one doesn't appeal to you, take a look at the second question. What about Jesus' teaching on acts of righteousness, on giving or prayer, is staying with you since we started taking a look at these passages? Okay, Bonnie? Okay, we don't have to wear a Christianity on the outside to be genuine, to just be seen by people. That's the idea? Okay. That our prayers are between us and God. Okay, there's something about holding resentments that's harmful to us. A grudge is too heavy to carry. It's okay to live differently than the rest, or other, most others in the world. God doesn't need fancy words. For a new Christian, just pray. Don't worry about having beautiful words. Close? Okay. The purpose is the issue. The internal heart intent. Why am I doing this is the central issue. Boy, we really have to think about that. Why am I doing this? This will keep our religious life grounded in Christ and in His grace, rather than outward activity. And that's the heart of it right there. That's where Jesus is taking the pulse on the spiritual health of our lives. Okay. Now let's come down to this. To receive a reward. You heard that repeated time and again. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Remember how many times that was repeated? It's kind of remarkable, the number of times. If you look backward in this Sermon on the Mount, there are the Beatitudes, chapter 5, primarily verses 3 through 10. And in that, the faithful, those who are called the faithful, or those who are responding to Him, will receive the kingdom of heaven, will be comforted, they will inherit the earth, they will be satisfied, they will receive mercy, they will see God, and will be called the children of God. Does anything there look like a reward to you? It's huge. It's full of reward. It's an interesting thing. I think sometimes the idea of reward in our culture, and maybe even in our Christian culture, is looked on negatively. Remember, Jesus is trying to get our motives right all the way through here, but there's this thing about reward. If our motives are right, then what about reward? I think that's what I want you to think about here today. Receive the kingdom of heaven, be comforted, inherit the earth, be satisfied, receive mercy, we'll see God, and we'll be called the children of God. Other rewards in Matthew 5. Jesus tells us to rejoice in persecution because our reward in heaven will be great. Next, Jesus tells us to love our enemies so that we may be children who are like our Heavenly Father, and Jesus contrasts that to our lack of reward if we fail to do so. Interesting. Rewards all through this. Rewards in Matthew chapter 6. He warns against practicing righteousness before men because we'll have no reward with our Father. He commands us to give in secret, to pray in secret, and fast in secret so that God will reward us. And He commands us to store up treasures. We haven't looked at this, but will in verse 20. Store up treasures in heaven. Which are rewards. So, let's think about this idea of rewards. What does this story tell us about rewards? First, from the human perspective. What's that? God knows that we like them. She said it. We're motivated by rewards, okay?
If you're doing it for a human phrase, then that's your reward. It's when
rewards are in the picture, whether for good reasons or bad, aren't they? The attention or honor of others, or something being done for different reasons. Give freely without expectation. The rewards will come. Having to have it real, some concrete kind of reward, some kind of tangible reward. How would the church be caught up in having to have a tangible reward of some kind? Okay. If you're really God's people, then he'll bless you. Then he will bless you, and it'll be in all these concrete ways. Okay? I get that. Okay. We grow up when we're looking for God's rewards as opposed to instant gratification. To get an attaboy or an attagirl from God, that's something. Okay, I'd like to ask about this attaboy girl or attaboy or attagirl idea, to get one of those from God. Is that okay? Is that okay for a Christian to want that? Okay. Do the right thing regardless of the reward. There's an interesting idea with that, that doing the right thing itself is the reward. This is spot on, I think, this idea of doing the right thing regardless. But it's interesting how rewarding it is to you personally when you do the right thing. Okay?
We're to accept the kingdom as little children. And little children are feel perfectly rewarded with a pat on the back or the head, and or with an attaboy or attagirl.
I think it's important for us to get more comfortable with the idea of reward. That's part of the picture for us. And not just put it off and say, you know, it's nothing.
Sometimes the reward comes through tears, comes through struggle. And we might look at it as if, you know, I'm being punished or whatever, but at the end of that storm, whatever you're going through, the change, which hurts, change is an The reward is at the end of that. And God is always with us, but we don't get what we want, so we look at that reward and whine about it. We do. But the reward at the end of that storm, if you want to call it that, we look back and say, wow, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, but that's just the way reward can be anything, you know. It can look, it can feel good, it can feel, that's what he says, you know, that, you know, he's always going to comfort us. Comfort, you know, I used to look at that and think, you know, well, God's reward is going to be awesome, you know. Like you said, maybe they claim it, new car, pedigree, blah, blah, blah. You know, but now in my 19th year as a Christian, I look at it and say, wow, you know, reward is pain in this world because we're working towards the heavenly things. But, you know, that's the way now I look at it in a different realm as far as that. But,
Sandy. Okay, so I hear sometimes there's doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing should be in our nature. It should be natural to do the right thing.
Okay. And I hear doing, let's see, that there's this reward of relationship, kind of in what you were saying. There's a relationship that's being built in God giving us the privilege of being part of the equation. So for our new Christian, it might be helpful for them to learn about this inner dynamic. What does God want from you? He wants. Ah, there you go.
I would say, bring it up. And if you doubt, if you question, try something. The Lord will direct you in what is right and what is wrong. Again, going back to the Old Testament, it was just part of their being, rather than specifically, well, I did this one, I can check that one off. Well, I did this one, I can check that one. Because that was the problem that Jesus criticized the Pharisees for. Yeah, you went down the list, but you missed the whole picture.
Very good. From our passage, what are some of the rewards that God intends for us? Been looking at this for a number of weeks. What do you think some of the rewards he intends for us?
Peace.
Peace. Right desires. God's love. A reward is God's love.
And he also said eternal life.
And eternal life.
And joy.
Joy.
Joy. Meeting our daily needs.
The closeness of a relationship is one of the biggest rewards. I was about to go past this part, but I'm glad we stopped. I was going into the Lord's Prayer this Sunday, and I thought maybe we should stop and take a look at this, because there are many take-homes for us. I think we have learned several things. One of the things that I think that we've learned is that we were made to know God. I'm just emphasizing something that you've already said before. That prayer is simply talking to God, not lots of words, no special formulas, often with God alone, no flair, no technicalities, just talking. That there's reward. The idea of reward. Some of the rewards are intrinsic. The reward of actually doing the right thing. That's, I think, huge. Just doing the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing. There's the reward of meeting important needs in the other. It has to do with something sometimes physical, sometimes it has to do with stepping into a person's life and doing what's needed for them. Are there times where we blow it and forget that it's our life centered in Christ that's the most important thing, and sometimes replace that with activity? Yes, there's no question about that. And we can gravitate toward wrong impressions about ourselves. We can do that. But it's important to remember that we're in process and that it takes time to have these new behaviors formed in us. I like the little girl's comment. I never make the same mistake twice. I make it 5 or 6 times just to be sure. You can be sure that there are times when we will err. And yet, when the Holy Spirit, as Rick, you eloquently pointed out, when the Holy Spirit touches our lives and says, no, not like that. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to our lives, then we can begin to grow. We've learned that prayer is something that if it becomes a problem, or any kind of religious life becomes a problem, that we can go private with it. Or as it said, go into your room, shut the door. That's a practice that we can do with many things. It's there at the door that we can check our ego. You know, going private means that our ego kind of gets starved out, and it's a good thing because later the reward of being with God is going to be restored to us. This issue of prayer, I couldn't emphasize it better than the way that A.W. Tozer put it. He said, to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. It's scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist. That's a person who wants to have a little bit of form, a little bit of religion in one's life. And like we see demonstrated by the hypocrites or Pharisees and that Jesus spoke to. But that means nothing to those who love him and want to know him better, but is justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart. I believe that it's in this context of our relating to God that we will be children of the burning heart. This outward activity thing that Jesus is addressing is something, it's a human failing. It's a human tendency that we sometimes are drawn to the sham instead of the inner reality. But it is something that he surely wants for us, and he wants for his children. And this whole thing kind of boils down to the relationship that's been talked about also this morning, that we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, make the Lord the center of our hearts and our lives. And then he truly does give us the desire of our hearts.